This is the Barbarian Rhetoric Podcast. Acta non verba.
Welcome, gents.
Hey, we back at it.
You're looking warm and toasty.
Yeah. Although it was balmy here today, it's like 40 something. So.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
So. Did all the snow melt, or is it just ice now?
It's just ice.
Ours all melted off, and then you drive like an hour north, and they have snow.
We still got buckets. It all. After it snowed, I was going to snow blow, but I realized that my snow blower, you have to start with an extension cord. And
there's my extension no cord at all.
Well, there is, but it doesn't work that well.
Okay.
I tried it before the snow started and it didn't work, but it's got like one of those electric starts, but you got to have an extension cord. And the extension cord I had was 25 feet and there's no outside outlet. So I'm not going to pull the snow blower through the foot and a half
through
of
the snow.
Oh my God. I did it.
The outlet in the garage or the shed or whatever.
Well, first of all, no, we don't have any power to the garage.
Oh, that's so sad.
And there's no, the only outside outlet is on the front side and there is no power ran to it. I've tried it. So I would have to run the cable from inside the house to it, which I did the first snow, but I pulled it through the snow all the way to the front, which is, I don't know, about 100 feet. And that was a pain in my ass. And I'm like, there's no fucking way. So I didn't shovel and it melted
a little next bit. So now it's just ice. Is next electric in the garage.
I would love to, but the only thing is I don't have the qualifications for that. I would have to run it. I would have to run it underground.
Yeah. And
that'd be a bitch.
Oh,
I don't want to burn my house down or the garage down. So. Well, I have an idea of what I'm doing. Cause I've done it before. I worked for electrical.
You dig the ditch. I'll come up and visit you and help you wire it in.
Well, most of it's concrete.
Well, you cut the line.
You're going to be so much help for the 5 seconds that you don't need to be here for. I know how to run 12-3. I know how to run 12-3 and dig a fucking trench. Jackass. The only thing is that there is at least, 20 feet that there's just concrete around the house. Well, not around the house, but if I actually ran it from the house straight to the garage, oh God, it'd be a long ass trench. I don't want to run it.
Rent a trencher for a day. That'd just be fun to play with.
I would have to, God damn it. No, fuck that.
Rent a trencher? Be like $100, rent a trencher for 4 hours.
I would have to run quite a bit of line to do it myself. Like way more than I need to. Honestly, if I'm going to get it done, I'm going to get it done by somebody that actually does it.
Yeah.
So it's going to be, I already know it's going to be expensive. I've looked at actually rewiring that whole house because it's got the old cables in it. It's the old black shit. None of it has a ground, which is weird because I had to redo one of our lights in our spare room. It had a fan. So I put a light in there. And there was two wires to the out with the box and it didn't make any sense. Literally, it was one had a ground black and white. And then there was one that just had a black and a pigtail ran from
it. How old is your house?
1906.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
See, this must be the week for old houses. I changed out a toilet today in a house. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to get the ring and everything put in there. And I'm like, what is this old plastic and all this? And I started hammering it. And I'm like, oh, this is metal. And I'm hammering it a little more. And I'm like, this is freaking lead. It's like.
Oh, wow.
Was it pecking?
What's that?
Pecking.
I don't know.
That old shit that they used to run. you get like water. What is it? You get lead poisoning from that shit now.
Yeah. Well, it's in the drain, but you know, it's, but it was just funny. It's like, I haven't seen lead in the house in whenever. So I came home and looked it up. They quit using it at about 86. The house is older than that, but I was like, I was surprised.
Yeah, we got lead paint in some of the windows. I know that much. That was one thing that was in our buyer's agreement, but they said they wouldn't do it. We're like, well, out of all the things that they switched out, we're like, well, I guess we can live with that one because it's in a window seal. It's like in the window. So, I mean, if we're going to do it, there's a lot of things that this house needs. It's just like one thing at a time.
And electrical just sucks, though.
Yeah. I was going to say, whenever I did it, I just, you kind of realize like there's just for one little thing, you got to do a, it's just like being a mechanic. Yep. It's one little part, but you got to take everything out to get to it.
So you need a new circuit breaker box and everything.
Yeah. Man. Whoever fucking did that needs to be shot, by the way.
Do you still have the old fuses that you screw in?
No.
Oh,
they're not new, but they're not the old ones, which is weird. Okay. Why the fuck would you have these breakers in there with this fucking wiring? Well, yeah, didn't I tell you that before we moved in, I had to switch out every single outlet? So I did have, well, it's got three prong now. They were all two prongs in the whole house.
Well, that, yeah, you don't have ground. So why do you need the third hole?
Well, yeah, you didn't need it, but for every fucking plug-in nowadays, they have three prongs. I mean, there's a couple of them that I just ripped off the third prong, but it's so fucking pointless.
I agree. It's irritating.
I looked at the price to rewire a house. It's like 10 grand. It's like, fuck.
Yeah.
Easily.
It's not a small house. And the whole thing is, if I would want it ran, I would want, there's like almost no outlets downstairs. So then there's actual new shit I got to put in.
And then along with the garage.
Yeah.
So we're almost saying 25 grand. Of,
yeah. Joys.
Let me just sell my truck so we can get wiring in this place.
You going to get one of those little electric bicycles to go to work? Those gas savers.
Just get a moped and leave fucking an hour early.
That's what I'm saying. Just get the electric bike. That way, if it dies, you can always still pedal. Hey, you get your cardio in. You don't even have to go to the gym.
There you go.
Yay. Sounds freaking awesome.
Hey, but then you'd have new electric.
I guess I could
to charge up the electric now. Bicycle.
Yeah, I would get that in the garage.
Yeah, so always something. Well, the other part is I was working down this hallway, and I'm laying just regular flooring, vinyl flooring or whatever, and at some point, I was trying to figure out if the wall was crooked or if my lines were crooked. And then I really started measuring, and no, every wall in the hallway is a different angle.
Oh my God.
No 90s. No, nothing was 90. It was either acute or obtuse and everything. And I was going to run it right into the bathroom. But by the time I got there, I was like, well, if I shift all this just a little bit, kind of, it won't look like. But if I had ran it into the bathroom, I'd had the things almost at like probably a 10 or 15 degrees off of what the lines would be to the rest. So it kind of curves down the hallway.
Oh, God.
Yeah. It's like a, I don't know, the house I think was built in like the 50s or something, but settle in, move in, repairs, changed. It's fun. Makes your brain work. Kind of go,
ain't that the truth?
It's like, I know the vinyls, the vinyl flooring is straight.
I was going to say, I've seen a lot of videos that were like, they're doing tile in the shower, and I'll go to the top, and they're like, why is your tile crooked? They're like, your ceiling's crooked. It's like, it looks like it's at a, like a 10 degree tilt. Yep. Jesus Christ.
That's why you're supposed to leave a little bit of space up there to hide that. Just a little bit of wall.
It just makes everything look off, though.
Yeah.
But what do you do? Do you go with the wall and make your tile look like ass, or do you do the tile right and make the wall look like ass? So it's going to look like ass either way.
Yeah, that's a tough one. It's, yeah. Well, I mean, that's like I have two doors in my bedroom for going into the bathroom and closet. Like right now, they close nicely. And then when it starts to warm up, the house shifts just enough that I can't close them. I, of course, shaved the doors so I can close them. But the bathroom door is hilarious because it's where it should latch is almost that. It's like, here's the hole. Here's the little button. So it's like it it misses it by an inch. It's like,
we're not even close.
No, it's not even, hey, let's repair the, no, it's slanted that much. So, and what's funny is that the bathroom door is closed right now because it's leveled out and it's straight. Mm. Now I have a gap at the top. It's like, damn her.
That's why I always hated setting doors, because it is the most meticulous bullshit you'll ever do. Because you'll get it right, and then you'll barely touch it, and it's off.
Well,
it's funny because our back door, well, yeah, during the winter, it settles and it freezes. So our back door, I have to lift up to actually latch it. Well, not to latch it, to do the deadbolt.
Bolt, yep.
But it's fucking freezing, so the thing doesn't want to go anywhere. It just wants to droop. So during the summer, it's totally fine.
Yeah.
During the winter, does not want to do it.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys have heard about this, but whenever it snows, if there's houses that have, like, the snow melts right off, that it's not insulated well. Is this true?
You mean like the roof, if the snow falls off quickly?
Like if the snow melts right away. Isn't that
house is heating the roof up. Yes.
Yes. That's what I thought. I was going to say, I actually looked today at every house on our block. Only me, our house and our neighbor's house has snow on the roof still. I'm like, fuck. Thank God. I know that at the very, the ridge, that there's vents there. So it lets it out. And then wherever they have like the pipes and shit, like it's going to melt around there. So there's no snow there, but everywhere else there's snow.
Yeah.
Everybody else is not a single drop of snow. Like, that's insane. So the nicest house on the block doesn't have any snow on the top. I'm like, oh, I'm glad I don't have a second floor.
If it's new construction.
But it's a two-story house.
Well, if it's new construction, though, they may have put a heated roof in.
I highly doubt that.
Okay. It's a possibility. The farther this north part, you go, but you're not that far north.
This part of Des Moines, there's not. I mean, there's new construction, but it's very, very seldom. It's this part of town's very old.
Oh, okay. So, but yeah, I've seen heated driveways and heated roofs.
Yeah. I was going to say, yeah, those are people that get, what is it, like upper Minnesota, like Alaska?
No. Really? Chicago, a lot of them have them because they have these fancy driveways that you can't plow because they curve and they look, you know, they have those nice round. So they just put heated drives in so they don't have to get it plowed out.
I wonder how much it is to put in those.
I don't know. It just sounds expensive. It probably is. I know about the roofs. They'll heat the roofs. They'll have like, I don't know, like a heated mirror. They'll have mesh in it or whatever, and they'll just, and that way it'll all melt off because they don't want snow on the roof. Yeah. Unless it gets real deep, who cares?
I was going to say, you just knock off the bottom and most of it comes off anyways.
Yeah.
Kind of seems like a waste of money, but who am I?
I don't know.
If you got it to burn.
Exactly.
That's true. I need money like that.
You'll get there someday. All right, let's hit some questions up or we'll never get through this. we got the first movie question. It's like movie month or something.
Movie month, yeah.
What's the greatest question ever asked in a movie?
Who is Kaiser Sose? Dude, where's my car?
Dude, where's my car? I like that. I mean, you got to throw out there, you know, blue pill or red pill. That's like a given, isn't it?
Yep.
Trying to think.
What's the question, or kind of when he? I'm thinking 300 when he kicks him off. Oh, I can't think of the question. All I know is who. This is Sparta. I know the answer, but what was the?
Oh yeah,
think we are.
Wait, what? No, the best part was whenever he actually is face to face with Xerxes, and he's like, kneel before me. He's like, actually, I got a bit of a cramp in my leg. That's going to be a challenge.
Yeah, but that's not really cramp. A question.
It wasn't really a question, but that was the best part of that whole movie.
Oh, what's the question they ask in Conan the Barbarian? What's the question she asked? Something about you want to live forever. Do you want to live forever?
That'd be a good. Yeah, that's it. That's a timeless one.
Ooh, what was it in Troy whenever he's going to the first battle when the boy is like, I wouldn't fight. Well, it's not a question, but it's like the boy's like, he's so big, I wouldn't fight him. He's like, and that's why nobody will remember you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
None of these are questions. These are just fucking things that people said. Questions.
You got to come up with questions.
What are the ones from Airplane? Like some of the ones the pilots. It's like, you ever been to a Turkish prison?
All you have to do is say the movie Airplane. The entire movie. Yes. If you haven't seen Airplane, you need to watch that. There's more one-liners of abuse.
Yeah. Or what's the one from War Games? Shall we play a game?
Yeah,
that's good. What's in the box? I know we talked about that one on one of the previous podcasts. What's in the box? There's my cousin Vinny, the judge. He's like, what exactly is a Ute?
There's some good ones in there.
How does he ask some car question, like some really specific car questions? Miss Vito, being an expert on general automotive knowledge, can you tell me what would be the correct ignition timing, or what would be the correct ignition timing on a 1955 Bel Air Chevrolet with a 327 cubic engine and a 4-barrel carburetor?
Yeah, how more exact do you need?
What about in Fast and Furious whenever Paul Walker asked the one kid, why don't you go to MIT? They got like tests and shit, man. I can't do that shit.
Best
question. You ask this question, no movie pops to mind.
Yeah, of course. Did you order the code red? From A Few Good Men. You want answers?
Oh, who killed Roger Rabbit? Jimmy, that should have been yours.
Yeah, it should have been, for as much as I talked about Jessica Rabbit. It's the Russell Crowe. Gladiator. Are you not entertained? Where he kind of just saws through everybody. Is this why you were here?
I'm trying to think. Specific questions is tough.
I know. That's why I came across this and I thought, I forget where, maybe Twitter or something. So thought it'd be cool. It's a good. Did you see the movie Stand By Me? Where they talk about, do you want to go see a dead body?
Well, yes, or of course.
In Ghostbusters, are you a god? No. Ray, somebody asks you if you're a god, you say yes.
It's like been so long since I've watched that, but I'm like,
yeah. I need to watch that again because there's a, like, does this poll work? When they're just at the headquarters, the fire station headquarters, where do those stairs go? They go up. Or they're in the elevator for their first call, and there's some old guy in the elevator, and they're like, "You some kind of exterminators?" Yeah, we got reports of a cockroach on the 7th floor. Must be some cockroach.
Oh, Bad Boys. What you gonna do when the Bad Boys come for you?
Motherfucker, you look like you're 30.
Here, quick trivia question. And it might be before your time, CJ. Usually. In the original Star Trek series, they had two tubes in the engine room. One said GN and the other one said DN. Do you know what those stand for? I know very little about Star Trek, even though my dad used to watch it all the time. But I was doing trivia one time, and that question was asked, and it's one I've never forgotten so far. Give me time.
No idea. Are they obvious?
It's go nowhere, does nothing. They were like, they needed to label them something. So,
yeah, that makes sense. Are you a good witch or a bad witch?
Oh, you ever dance with the devil in the pale moonlight?
Oh, ooh. Batman, Jack Nicholson. Huh?
Yeah.
You, Doc, are you telling me you built a time machine in a DeLorean?
Where's Harvey Dent?
Ooh. Oh, no, that's not. Well, it turned into a movie, but that's from the book. Your question made me think of it. What is it? Atlas Shrugged. Who is
John Galt?
Yeah, there you go. Who is John Galt?
Was that on the movie or the book?
That was the book, but it's in the movie too.
I've never watched the movie. Isn't the movie in two parts?
I believe so.
Two or three.
Jesus.
Just because some of it was budget stuff, and you know. So
I think it's a book.
It's dense. It's pretty.
Yeah. I read the book and I couldn't get into the movie. So I've never seen the movies all the way through. All right, we got a math question, CJ. You ready for this one?
I'm actually doing math, so go fuck yourself.
I walk 10,000 steps, but do it with a dog, has the dog done 20,000 steps since he has twice the legs?
That's not math.
That's a math question.
That's not really a math question.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, I guess he did since he has four legs.
Okay.
Wait, but so whenever your step counter, is it counting every one step or is it every two step as one?
I understood how step counters really worked.
Me neither. But
here's the thing. If I walk 10,000 steps, would I get farther than Jimmy G?
Oh, yes. Shit, yeah.
Well, it depends on how you're walking. You might be a shuffler. Okay, well, I think long strides.
Well, just a normal walking pace. If we're both moving.
That's just it. Yeah, you would go farther.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Now, say we're walking the, you know, three and a half miles an hour. Would I get to a destination before you?
No. We're both walking at 3.5 miles per hour. Doesn't matter.
Did you guys ever see that clip going around where the guy's talking to his girlfriend and says, how long, if we're going 80 miles an hour and we got, and we're going 80 miles, how long will it take us to get there?
Yeah.
Oh, you haven't seen that one, CJ?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that one was good. She's like trying to explain it. Well, wind speed and this.
It's an hour.
Yeah. Yep.
An hour.
Yep.
Well, I was going to say, my fiance asked me this. It's supposed to stump you. So if you're in a race and you pass the second place, what are you in?
First, right?
Well, you're an idiot.
Yeah.
You're in second place, dipshit.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Pass the second place person.
Because the first place is still in front of you. That's why I said, she like looks at me. I'm like, was this supposed to be hard? She's like, I hate you.
Well, technically, would you go anywhere? Because in order to travel 3 miles, you have to travel half that distance. But in order to travel half that distance, you need to travel half that distance.
Wait, what?
In order to travel half that distance. Is it Zima? There's Zeno's paradox of movement. It's an ancient Greek philosopher. His theory was nobody could ever get anywhere because in order to travel any distance, you would have to travel half that distance. And in order to travel half that distance, you would have to travel half that half distance, et cetera, et cetera. And so technically there's no motion. I'm not saying he's right. It's just some.
I don't get the logic. What's his name?
I think it was Zeno.
Nobody knows who the fuck he is because that's stupid as hell.
Look, I took a course on ancient Greek philosophers. Had to learn some of this shit.
It's the dumb stuff you remember. Like that. Yeah. Yeah.
That's why I'm good at Trivial Pursuit.
I was going to say, I like the ones that really have no answer. Like, what is it? Theseus ship. The ones like that. I enjoy those. But
that's the one where if you replace all the planks, all the boards, the same ship? Theseus ship, is it still the same ship? Yeah. Yeah. Who's it? Heraclitus. His was change. The nature of everything is change. He can't step in the same river twice.
Because it's always flowing. It's like, are you still the same person that you were 10 years ago, even though that every single cell in your body has been replaced? Are you still the same person?
You better hope you're not. No. You better be a better version.
No, but are you still you?
Are you?
That's a good question because you are literally not the same physical being that you were 10 years ago because every cell has been replaced.
I can agree with that.
I'm twice the man I was back then.
Why? Because you were 112 pounds back then? Yep.
That is exactly true.
I don't have more cells. They're just bigger now.
See, these are good questions because this leads to our next one is, are we truly in an age of information overload?
Oh, yeah.
With new social media, all the access. If you think about it, I don't know why I was thinking. There are guys that were always jack of all trades. They can do a little this, little that, and
that like specialty.
Like all talking like at our house, but like generally, men could do all the minor repairs, and then like we were talking earlier, you call someone to do the bigger stuff. But nowadays, it's like okay. Maybe you're not an electrician or anything, but you can literally pull up a YouTube video and figure out how to rewire your entire house and not be an actual.
Wait, hold up. Do not tell people to rewire their whole house.
No, I didn't tell them. I'm saying it's possible.
YouTube video. It is possible, but it's also extremely possible to burn your whole fucking house down.
Right. But what I'm getting at is you could go learn to be an electrician off of YouTube. You could go learn to be a mechanic off YouTube. You could go all these things. You wouldn't have to necessarily go through the apprenticeship, journeyman, whatever programs. You could literally go online, start to, you know, some kid could start pulling it up, and you didn't have access to that knowledge. It's like, well, you got electrical work and you wanted to become an electrician. You had to go to a union or you had to apprenticeship for it because there was no way. Here's an even goofier one. You want to learn how to put horseshoes on a horse? That used to be a big, long, like 9-month apprenticeship journeyman program. If you really wanted to learn how to go do horseshoeing, you could go online and there's guys that can teach you how to do horseshoes. If you still got to go do the work and do the skill, but it's like, okay, if you have time on your hands, you could go learn to do all this stuff. It almost like, yeah, there's good things to call pros, like rewiring a house.
I also don't think that's the whole question though. This, you're talking about information overload. So this is kind of getting stuck in. Maybe, okay, let's say that you are trying to rewire your house. You go on YouTube and you're looking for that. You watch a video for 5 minutes and then you see a different video that looks more entertaining. That's when you start going off into the information overload.
Okay. Here's a better one on that one. Say you go watch a couple hours. Actually, you're really wanting to learn it. So you go watch one guy and you watch like a couple hours of his videos of how to wire things. And then you go, well, I think I learned a few things, but let's go see what this guy says. And then you go watch another 2-4 hours of electrical. And he does it differently than this guy does. And then you go to a third guy. You just watch 3 guys. And really what you should have done is you should have picked one. And you just went with it. Yep. Because if you went with all 3 guys and you try to scrabble it together, you're probably going to burn your house down.
You're going to fuck yourself up.
but each person would have done it right. You know, it's like following mechanics. I watch a bunch of mechanic videos just because on cars I don't know anymore. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you took all those parts off to get that little part off? Why? Well, because I'm thinking to myself, it's like, well, I got the socket that will go around and attach it. Well, if you're just a common guy with the basic tools, yeah, you got to pull all those parts out. But I think there's too much. It's like me and Jimmy G can remember the good old encyclopedia. If it wasn't in there, you probably saw them as you passed them in the library when they showed you where the library was. But it was like, if it wasn't in an encyclopedia, that general knowledge, you're like, that was the end all be all.
Yeah. I was going to say, it kind of sounds like whenever I did drywall, all crew leads had we all got to the same point, but we all had a little bit different way of doing it. So whenever they would throw us different people, we would show them how we would do it. And they would get mad because somebody else showed me it this way. Well, I don't do it that way. And it was always a kind of a problem. So like whenever you got thrown around to every crew, you always learned every single way, but which way is the right way? Well, the best way that you go with. And that's a lot of people hated me because I was extreme stickler on how I did everything. And that's why I always push for, if we're going to be throwing people in different trucks, keep them in there so they learn one way and they figure out the best ways for them. Don't just like confusing them because we're human. We do everything a different way, but the end goal is always the same.
Well, and that's where I'm going back to. Are we actually hindered by so much information?
Yeah, because we got everybody's different ideas. It's all going to the same place, but it might not be the best path for us because sometimes we don't listen to, we try to take others people's perspective as a, you know, it's 100% right instead of the way that we would do it, you know, kind of putting our little bit of a twist on it because the way they do it might be a little bit difficult for us, but if we twist it a little bit to, you know, meet our needs, it'll be 10 times easier. But some people can't get past that. I mean, but when you're learning something the first time, putting your own twist on it is probably the worst idea. Just stick with one path instead of taking multiple different paths trying to get to the same thing. You're never going to go anywhere. You're going to spin around in fucking circles and get frustrated and quit.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
She's got another thought.
Well, I was just going to say, I agree too, because you kind of have to stick with that thing. You know, I was thinking back to some of my very first jobs. Like, I worked in a grocery store and some of the, you know, just some of those, what, it doesn't matter the thing, but you just kind of need to go, like, just crank out widgets however somebody tells you how to crank out a widget. And then over time, you can figure out, oh, wait a minute.
Make it more efficient.
Yeah, this is what, to your point, CJ, this is what fits me because I'm shorter, I'm whatever. But part of it too is individual skills or strengths, I should say, things that, you know, we find a rhythm. There's a way we do things. Some people can, you know, some people can take laundry and just grab each article of clothing and fold it accordingly. Other people have to sort it out into shirts and pants and whatever, and then fold it that way. Like, but at the end of the day, laundry gets folded and put away, kind of thing. So, you know, but when you're just starting anything, you just kind of need to go, oh, okay, this is how my dad taught me how to cut board, so this is how I'm gonna, whatever, you know, I'm an apprentice on this thing fitting pipes, and this is the way I'm gonna do it. Is then I'll figure it out over time, or then I'll learn, oh, wait a minute. Or maybe, like you said, CJ, like, you get in onto a different crew or something and they do something slightly different, or they do it slightly different. But if you don't pick one way and just work with it, you're gonna suck for a lot longer than you need to.
Well, and this, I think, hits into a broader spectrum, which we talk about now and then or whatever, but it's like relationships. Mm-hmm. You know, don't go watch 60 different guys on relationships. You know, if you're going after, you want to be a player, or you want to get married and have kids, or i.e. whatever other kind of relationship with your kids, with a significant other, with your family, find one person or maybe two that you do. But one of the things I've noticed is so many guys will ask 10 guys, how should I answer this girl? You know, in the dating pool.
Yeah.
Pick one guy to listen to and try it out for 6 months or a year. And if it still fails, then move on. You know, don't try 10 guys or, you know, marriage counseling type stuff. It's like, pick one person to help you with it and then stick it out for 6 months and see if you can have some improvements. Or
every guy's going to have a little bit different style.
Yeah, but if you mix them all together, you won't get any place.
You're going to seem like you're autistic.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think the avenues, there are definitely much more avenues, right, to be overloaded by, right? It's not just YouTube channels. It's podcasts. It's websites, blogs. You name it. I mean, it's like runs the gamut. So there's so many things out there on any given thing, washing machines or lawnmowers or pick your thing, grilling, cooking, gaming, movies. There's so many things and so many avenues, and it's so easy to get lost. And, you know, even talking like the three of us here, like, it's like, hey, do you guys know a good site for blah? And then, like, we can all, I usually go here. Or, oh, really? I go here. Oh, well, we go here. You know, it's like just different opinions because somebody landed on a site first and it had decent enough advice. And it's like, okay. Or it's somebody they know. It's like, I'm going to go with that and trust it, kind of thing. But there's so many avenues now of how to get information, let alone books. And there's still TV, public TV, you know, This Old House and some of those shows, cooking shows.
HGTV.
Yeah, exactly. Like, there's all these things out there where you could learn all this stuff. And so I do think there's definitely so much more avenues that even 10 years ago, let alone when we were
right
kids, you know.
Well, I think back And it's like, would I still be a mechanic if I knew then what I know now? I think I'd have still ended up in mechanics, but I'd have probably gone like into marine or into one of the specialties or something. Or
something that doesn't change.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, my dad went in the mowers.
But it's like, you know, you look at some of the stuff and you're like, the opportunities, even the job fairs, you know, it's like, oh, become a welder. But that's all it was. It was like, become a mechanic, become a welder, become a subject. But then they didn't tell you what you could learn inside of all of that, you know, or all the different levels. It's like, it's almost was like hidden knowledge. Now it's like, okay, my son wants to be an electrician. What kind of electrician jobs are out there? And then I found out, you know, there's residential, commercial, and industrial. And then you can break it down. Do you want to be a lineman? Do you want to work on machines? Do you want to work? And break it down. And pretty soon you can niche it down to go, oh, I think I want to go do X. And it's right at your fingertips. So it helps kind of guide you along the line. So on that way, the information's expert. But I reached out to a couple people that I knew were in the electrical field or whatever. And it was like, all three of them basically gave me the same answer. And I'm like, oh, good enough.
They say journeyman.
I quit my searching. What?
They say journeyman.
Were they journeymen? No.
Well, did they say be a journeyman?
No, they actually all, the one thing they all said was don't become residential. They're like, go, go commercial or industrial and then find out what you like from there. And then most of them are like, go through the apprenticeship program because then you don't have to. What's pay for funny?
Schooling. Schooling's what? Fucking schooling's expensive.
Well, and the funny part on that one is even if you go to schooling, you still got to come out and do your apprenticeship. So you might as well
do the apprenticeship and then get your schooling.
Or yeah, or get your apprenticeship and just go that route and not have to worry about paying bills. So I was like, okay, bud, here you go. You can go learn your job and get paid for it while all your buddies go to college and rack up debt. He's like, well, I really don't care for school the first place. There you go. You go get paid to learn, you know, stay on the job and let them send you to all the quote certification and class. Cause then it's actually what you need. It's not electrical theory and you're working on freaking, you know, industrial motors that run a power plant. It's like, you don't need it. You're not becoming an engineer. It's,
Electrical theory is fucking impossible. That's math that doesn't make fucking sense.
All right. Now this is, you'll have to explain this one, Junior, because never make a permanent decision based on temporary emotion.
Yeah, I came across this. Now where, but right, how often do we in the moment, like in the heat of some emotion, we make some comment or we make some decision, or you know, good or bad, like it's like you have sex with somebody for the first time, oh, will you marry me? I love you. Like or you know, in the heat of an argument, or right,
well, in the heat of the moment, wouldn't it be like you ask to marry them while you're having sex?
Well, yeah, yeah. But you know what I'm saying? It's like you're in some emotional state and then you make some decision, good or bad, that could, you know, like because you're not thinking rationally, you.
So yeah, is that what happened in Vegas? Is that what you're trying to tell us when you were in Vegas last?
Well, this is no, actually, this is
my way of telling you that
I just dropped. No, this is my way of telling you I dropped $200,000 on a girl's farts in a jar. So, this is really, it's more of an intervention. This is my way of, for those of you that listened to the previous podcast, this is, you know, it was me.
Was it a decent one? It's got a decent aroma to it. Tell me.
But, it smelled, you know, like roses.
But, you know, I've even thought of interactions with my kids, my ex. You know, there's conversations that we have, and you get, you know, you get in the heat of a discussion, and then you either say something or you make some decision that's, you know, ultimately turns out to be the wrong thing. It's like you kind of need to know. We need to know ourselves, and we need to know that we're in, you know, some unstable state. It's like, you know what? Maybe right now isn't the best time to talk about whether or not I should buy a new car or a new house or whatever it is. Like, it could be anything, but something that I thought about, it's like, you know, having that emotional control or that emotional intelligence. I know, right, there's this running gag where, you know, men don't have emotions because they come from ovaries, kind of thing. But the reality is we do deal with emotions. We just deal with them differently than women do. But at the same time, we need to be able to manage those things. And how often do we make decisions, even all throughout history, right? Kings and warriors have made all kinds of leveled you know, brought their kingdom to ruin, leveled entire cities because they were pissed off at some dude or some chick, you know. So anyway,
on the financial side of things, for doing like buying stuff, and I can't remember if I read this, someone told me this or whatever, they're like, set up time frames for dollar amounts. So say if say if it's like a small thing, like $50 or less, sleep on it for 24 hours and see if you want to buy it the next day. Or if you're like window shopping and you haven't been looking and you're like, do I want that? Well, sleep on it and see if you want it the next day. But then if it's like a more expensive purchase, you know, say $100 to $1,000 or whatever, give yourself a week. Do you still want it in a week? Does it make sense? And they're like, you get into a car or something more expensive, it's like, spend a few months and think if you really need that car or want that car.
Because then you're going to buy it then.
Yeah. Well, you know, and it's like you're thinking about it logically then, and you don't just walk in and go, ooh, the new car smell, and yeah, I like this color, and da 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 da. And the next thing you know, you walk out with a car that should have been, you know, $25,000, and it's $40,000.
Mm. So, shit, these days.
I was going to say, I can honestly say that I kind of bought my truck out of spite. So. Because I was pissed off at the dealership, and I bought it anyways, because fuck them. Does that make any fucking sense? No. But no. It was like one of those things, like, you tell me I can't do this. All right, now I'm going to fucking do it. Good. I did that out of emotion. Still fuck them.
Sometimes. I'm not saying it's wrong in every case.
Well, it's not always necessarily wrong, but it's takes some time to think it through type thing.
Oh, I was gonna say, I thought it through on how I can go over them.
Yeah, how you can get over.
I think that's more of the guys that, like, something pisses us off, we're gonna find a fucking way to make sure that we can do whatever the fuck you told us we couldn't do because it pissed us the fuck off.
Well, that means you put some thought and time and effort into it.
I mean, in a bad way, yes, kind of. You know, some things wouldn't get done if people told us we couldn't do things. So
that's, I mean, true.
That's true.
I'm not saying that all emotion shouldn't go. Sometimes needs to be emotion into our decisions, because if we didn't have emotion in any of our decisions, what would we be living in? A box. We would have no pride to find something better. But when we do things, everything out of spite, you can go down a spiral quite quick.
Yeah. Well,
you can get to a lot of fucking debt.
A lot of times it's instantaneous, you know, out of the blue type stuff. Yeah. The instant gratification. It's like you need to damper that, you know,
temper.
Damper. Damper.
Oh, I was gonna say, I was thinking temper. There's definitely
temper. Oh, I like temper better. That's a better word.
You kind of have to temper that metal a little bit, you know. It's like can't be too hot.
Right.
But you don't want to be cold either.
One of my best ones for a teaching for my son on this. We went to a hot air balloon thing demonstration where they were having them all, and we got lucky and got to see a bunch of them moving around. And of course, someone selling those plastic toys on a stick for like $15 a piece. Yeah. And he saw this one gun on there and he just wanted it so bad. So we were having fun the entire day. And then he saw that and I told him, no, I'm like, they're $15. It's a $1.50 gun, blah, 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 whatever. Yeah. He was mad, pouted, you know, the whole thing. It's like, all right, time to go home. Da, 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 da.
Whole day.
Okay. Side note, on the way home, a thunderstorm started and a lightning bolt hit the tree as we were driving by so hard that I actually reached over to make sure he was all right. It shook us. We drive down that road now and he's like, is that the tree? I'm like, yeah. So he still remembers that several years. Now back to our original story. Next day, I wanted to prove a point. So I took him to the Dollar Tree. Guess what we found?
The same thing.
Yep. For $1. And I'm like, you want two?
He's like, not anymore.
I'll buy you two of them now. He's like, okay. But that kicked into his head. We pushed past the instant gratification of $15 for this little plastic piece of junk gun. And I bought him two the next day for $1 a piece.
Yeah. Just as fun.
Yeah.
Surprised he didn't go, no, I don't want it anymore.
No. Yeah, he still wanted them, but I had, because I explained to him, I'm like, well, go check it out. I'll show you. You can get the same thing cheaper. And it's like, how many times does that happen? You know, it's like TVs, hell, girls, you know, relationships, people, houses, cars, whatever it is. It's like, oh, I want that right now. Well, maybe you should look around a little bit first.
Yeah. So. Yeah, that's interesting though. There is, because you know, that's a good point you brought up, CJ. Because sometimes, right, you do need both, right? There are times where you need to, you know, kind of get rid of the emotion and you know just think rationally. You know, big purchase. Maybe it's a house. Maybe it is a new car that you need one, but you kind of can't, like, you can only afford so much, but the market's not where you're at anyway. So, like, you're going to be spending, you know, there's always stuff like that that you kind of have to weigh. And it's like, okay, is this, or maybe it's an investment opportunity that's really, could be a really good thing, but you're just, there's times to kind of sit back and go, okay, wait a minute, is this really, you know, I'm thinking of my dad. So they have a play. They're snowbirds. They spend time in Texas, down in the Rio Grande Valley, and they were renting a place down there, and then a place came up for sale. Their first time down there, and my dad said that he stayed up to like 3 or 4, the like running number, like, and for my dad, that never happens. Like, so it had to be like a really good deal. Like it had to be like, cause he was racking in his brain, but he thought about it. He ran some numbers. He's like, blah, 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 okay, if we do this and this and that. And then the next morning, or maybe, you know, 36 hours later, walked in and said, I'll offer whatever the price was. And bought it, and the rest is history. And they'll get the value back out of it. I mean, it's right. Places like that always turn
sometimes
over.
Sometimes you got to be ready to, you know, grab the bull by the horns.
Yeah, yeah. But at the same time, too, how often have we been motivated because somebody pissed us off? Somebody said, you can't do this. Or, you know, I know when I was marching in drum corps, it always pissed me off when I heard my name called. It's like, fuck you, I didn't screw up, or I'm not gonna I don't want you calling my name again kind of thing. So you kind of get pissed off. So I'm going to do something and I'm going to, right. Anyway, it's like you said, like out of that spite, it's like, fuck you. I'm going to be, you know, I'm going to do this thing. So it is interesting.
Well, it's not feeding your ego. And the people say leave out your ego, which I've always thought this to a point is good. But if you don't have an ego, then you don't think you have any worth.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think more often than not, we need to get our ego out of the way. It's not so much that we shouldn't have it. It's like we let it get in our own way sometimes. To your point. So I think we need it because otherwise you wouldn't even consider things in the first place.
I think it comes to, I don't need external validation for my ego.
Sometimes you got to prove it to yourself though.
Yeah. And that's where the ego comes in. If you don't have any ego to, you know, the lifting weights is the easiest example. You know, if everyone's pushing themselves and you're getting into weight, you know, you can't do, and you're going to end up getting hurt. Now you're trying to prove to somebody else, oh, I can lift whatever. Whereas
you start doing knee bends in the Smith machine.
Yeah. The only thing is, like you say that you got to take your ego out of it. There would be no world records if you took ego out of it.
No, but that's what I'm saying. But they don't need the external validation from it. They're just proving it to themselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's always a little bit different when you're proving it to yourself and when you're trying to prove it to others.
Because you're right. It, but that would be like, okay, you want to take your deadlift from 125 up to 500 and then let people know that? If you didn't have ego, you would never get there.
No, because you wouldn't get anywhere.
Yeah. You'd only get there half the way and then you wouldn't make it.
Fuck, you probably wouldn't get half the way, honestly. You probably would never progress.
Well, yeah. No, you would. That's what
half of half.
You sure you would?
No, you would. You'd get there, but you'd be doing like one quarter, one eighth. I see what you guys did there. I appreciate that. But, you know, then you're going to be that guy who's doing one eighth of a rep.
Yeah. Shrugs.
Yeah. But quarter shrugs.
Oh.
CJ. I'm not gonna go on a tangent.
Go ahead, let's hear it, CJ.
I'm trying to bait you.
Not today.
Oh, well, would that be like pyrometrics or whatever with a bar?
What?
Where you just flex your muscles? So if you put like a bar on it,
just with a bar.
Pyrometrics.
Okay, I got 1,000 pounds on the bar, and then I flex my shoulders against it. You know, somewhere, somebody in a gym is doing something along that lines.
That's awesome.
CJ's going, yeah, the dude next to me today.
I do love watching. So this is the time of the year to watch people in the gym. It's the best time because, you know, there's a lot of people that haven't been in there and they come in, try to feed their real ego and they don't last long. So I saw a guy that was probably half my size doing the full stack on the machine flies. The way he was doing it was so amazing that he would like put his arms like right next to his body, look like Mike Tyson throwing a punch. I was just like watching for a whole minute. I'm like, that's amazing. You're an idiot.
It would almost, one, I wouldn't want to go to the gym right now because of all the idiots in there. However, I never thought about going and getting a job in a gym right now. You know, like the first month, like go work in a gym in January just to watch all the hilarious stuff going on. That might be worth it. It's like, I don't want to work out there. You know, it's like, okay, I go work out in this gym. but I'm going to go work here just to people watch and see what people do. That might be a life goal of mine. I may do that one day. Be like,
need to get a different gym than mine because most of them just stand at the desk and the whole weightlifting thing is downstairs. You get to watch people play tennis. That's amazing.
No. I'll find one where I can like stand there and watch every, or I'll wander around something.
There you go.
I'll wander around, make people think I'm doing stuff, but really I'm just there people watching.
Why is this old man just wandering around?
Exactly. That's what I'll be. I'll be the old guy just kind of wandering around aimlessly.
Naked in the
locker room. I don't know where I am. Speaking of ego, I did feed my ego a little bit this week. I did realize that I can barbell row my weight for 3 sets of 10.
Oh wow. Nice. So 105?
210.
That's awesome, man.
Thank you. I was legit. One of those things. Yeah. I put on 225 and that did not feel good. So
what was that? Were you doing overhand, underhand?
Overhand.
Wow.
I try to keep them as
short. Although as you're possible. Back though. I mean, you have lats from hell. Yeah.
I wish everything else was exactly the same.
Yeah, I get that. It was just when you're pulling times. Drywall yeah. back in the day. Yeah.
I just want to put that out there because I was stoked.
Yeah, that's awesome.
That's a good accomplishment.
Last year, the most I ever got to for that those many reps was like 185, and that was a struggle. So,
yeah. But see, you didn't do that for anybody else.
No.
See, there's a good use of ego. If anyone's listening, you did it for you. You know, it wasn't like trying to show off in the gym. Yeah. Well, back to the ego and strength. Strongman wouldn't exist if it wasn't for egos.
Oh no, fuck no.
You know, if it wasn't for who could do stones fastest, who could lift the heaviest log, who all the guys are egomaniacs.
Oh, Mr. Olympia.
Oh yep. Fuck. Talking about ego.
There you go. You know, hell, I think Big Ramy is one of the least egocentric guys, you know, he's cool, but there's still some ego there.
You still, yeah, I mean, I think it's possible to be, I don't know, down to earth, laid back, but you still have to have like a definitely need, right? That is it, overconfident, you know, almost overconfident kind of thing, like excessive confidence, like you need. Deep down somewhere inside you, maybe you don't show it to everybody, but you need to have that fuck everybody.
You need somebody else to instill that to get to the very top. Because if you notice that every single top athlete has somebody in their corner hyping them up the whole time. You look at like Mike Tyson, whenever he was coming up, his coach always would repeat, you're the greatest. And then when that coach died is when Mike Tyson went downhill. Same thing with Michael Jordan. His father was that guy until he died. And then that's when he had the problems and went to baseball.
Yep.
Tiger Woods.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Even Dorian Yates and his training partner, like, was always just like, go, 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 go. You could do it. One more.
Mm-hmm. Like he fell off because of injuries, but that, yeah. If he never had injuries,
yeah.
Who knows how many he would have won.
Right.
Yeah.
Ronnie Coleman had the whole gym.
Yeah. That's
everyone wants definitely. To be a bodybuilder. No one wants Nobody to lift wants anything to heavy. Ass
weight. I was going to say, yeah, you kind of make a good point. You have to like tell yourself to be good, but then to be great, you have to have somebody else that believes in you more than you believe in yourself.
Yep. I agree with that. All right. The last question of the evening. Yeah, it's evening. And more, it's going to be somewhat specific, and there might be some other organizations, but can an organization like the Boy Scouts make a comeback? And what I'm thinking about is, you know, I understand kind of the path that they went down, but can groups like that that were originally one thing ever go back to what they originally were after they changed? Kind of like your body question. Are you the same person after 10 years?
You have to reinvent yourself.
Yeah. But it's like, you know, when I think of Boy Scouts, I think of like old school Boy Scouts and some of the stuff they did compared to what I know they do. And of course, it always depends on what troop or what pack or da-da-da and who the leaders were and everything. But as an organization as a whole, myself along with other people think the Boy Scouts have made a lot of poor decisions. And because of that, they've suffered. They're suffering greatly. And I don't think, you know, will they ever be back to the heights they were because they don't honor their core values anymore.
As a claim of ignorance, what's the difference between then and now?
Well, nowadays it's like, well, it is for the longest time, girls weren't allowed into the Boy Scouts. And basically it's turning into scouting. Now they allow girls in there. That's a big one. And people can argue and everything, but it all comes down to the Eagle Scout Award because no one knows what the Girl Scouts top award is. I Googled it and then I forgot about it because you don't. But I've always known what Eagle Scout was. You know, that's the main reason girls wanted it. Eagle
Scout means something, yeah.
Yeah, well, it did. But anyway.
Well, you know what I mean.
You know, it's recognizable. It's something along that lines. But it's like, I think there's a lot of things that should just be for boys and there should be stuff just for girls. And that's a whole nother discussion with all the other gender. But as an organization as a whole, they don't follow their moral values anymore, or they don't follow their own moral code and their code,
and
they've suffered for it. And my thought, and I was thinking in Scouts from what it came back from, what was it, William Powell? That sounds off. I'd have to look it up. The original guy that started it all, it's like, I wonder how many variations of Scouts there's been through the years. You know, the guys in the 30s, did they complain, or the guys from the 20s complain about how the guys in the 40s were running it? And, you know, and then Scouts lasted. Did the guys in the 60s, you know, how they did it? Did the guys in the 40s complain about the guys in the 60s? And the guys, you know, when I went through it in the 80s. And I'm like thinking about it then compared, you know, 30 years later. And it's like I don't see the same values, or, you know, is it just the leadership or whatever? But I was trying to think of other organizations that have fallen off by the wayside. And some either reinvent themselves or they just disappear. And I was having a hard time thinking in any like that, but yet I know there are some.
Yeah, I'm sure.
The Masons still seem to be kind of holding strong, and
Shriners.
Still, they're getting old.
And
veteran programs, you know, I'm thinking like
VFW, or
it all comes down to leadership.
Yeah.
You know, okay, but when you say the VFW, you know, as a whole, there's not a bad taste in my mouth. I just know some VFW halls are better than others. Okay, that comes to local leadership. You know, the decision that the Scouts have made, it's national, leaves a bad taste in my mouth. Where I know there's local groups that are very high speed and do some awesome stuff. So it's like, do I support an organization that I don't believe in their core values anymore?
Well, and these days, right, there's so many sort of the whole woke, you know, just that cultural, like sort of where we're at culturally has seeped into all these different groups and organizations, right? You throw in the whole Me Too kind of thing that added an extra layer of some of these sorts of things. And so, you know, but, you know, it's interesting. I think, you know, the thing is can you'd like to think that organizations like the Boy Scouts could make a comeback, but it is going to change. And some of that is like, I don't know. I guess in some ways, I think organizations like this, these days, it's like we've overcomplicated the plot in all of them. Like Boy Scouts, even in the activity I love, drum corps, that's changed so much, especially in Me Too. It's high school kids, college kids out on the road doing high school kid shit and college kid shit, co-eds doing what kids do and all that sort of stuff. But, so there's all kinds of ridiculousness that happens, but it's gone to the point where almost like we've overcorrected. Like I said, we've overcomplicated the plot. And so now everything is this big complex deal, when the Boy Scouts at its core was just this simple organization to take boys to, I know we talked about the first Boy Scout field manual.
Right.
And the stuff. So it's about, arguably it's right. It's a rite of passage shaping boys into men, but it's teaching them some survival skills and some camping, fishing, just some, just some stuff to do. Like, and it's just pure and simple. It's like, and I'm sure it came out from that simple of an idea. Hey, I like to go camping with my son. I like to go fishing with my son or hunting. Let's codify those sorts of things. And what if we gave this experience to not, because some people don't have, their parents aren't hunters or fishers or like whatever. How about we give this experience to a broader, and then there's some education, there's some structure, there's some keeping kids out of trouble sort of things that come to that, but it comes from a simple place. And now today, right, it's diversity and inclusion, and we got to have all these things, and it's got to appeal to all these whatever. And what are we doing for Hispanics versus Blacks versus, it's like, no, people are people. Let's keep it simple and let's just do a thing, whatever that thing is. But I think it's returning to some of those simple, basic ideas, but we try and, like I said, overcomplicate it, make it this big, huge, all this stuff. And so I think it's possible, but it's going to take a willingness just to keep it simple and basic,
smaller
or straight ahead. And like you said, and I think that's the other thing too, is to have a more focused moral purpose or stated purpose of the organization, right? It's like, I'm sure Boy Scouts over time have become, Yeah. And, even like I said, even drum corps, they're starting to, there's just this way of, of doing things and whatever. And some of it though, right, there's a dichotomy here, because in some of these things, you kind of do have to evolve, right? Times change, right? And so you sort of need to adapt. I mean, camping's camping, right? Well, fishing's fishing. Well, you know what I mean? At its core, those things are still what they are. But, technologies change, rifles change, even bows. Like talking about recurve, used to be just recurve bows. And now you got compound, like all this fishing rods. Holy hell. Like
there's 1,000 different ones.
Yeah. So, right. So there is some advancement, some things that need to change and evolve. But at the same time, I think you can keep their core functions, but it would take somebody willing to go, no, I don't want to do all this other stuff. Let's stay focused on this core mission.
It almost comes back to like the small core group. Yeah. Like, I'm thinking like the American Legion, not even that, a men's group, a ladies group or whatever said, we're going to have this for our community, and it's like, cause it's like, I think back and when I was in Boy Scouts, the ones that chartered us was the fire department.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, and then I don't know if they were for the Cub Scouts or not, but you know, it's like basically the only people that'll take them on anymore is churches, you know. It's like,
yep.
Okay. But it's like they were chartered or anything. But it's interesting, and I'm curious if any grassroots groups will start to come, you know, materialize. People coming up going, ooh, I want this. But how do we build it bigger?
I think so. I mean,
I because there's part of me that goes, I don't think the, like, if you go with like a group like with the Boy Scouts, I don't see them going backwards.
Yeah.
I see them going forward and falling apart and fracturing. But then it makes me wonder if somewhere along the line, if, you know, somebody else comes out like the Royal Trekkers or something, you know, is a different group comes out and they go, we're going to try this here. And if you almost, it's almost like a phoenix. It has to go full thing, or, you know, like Rome. Rome grew huge and then it died. And then it grew huge and then it died. It's like a phoenix. It's like you get so big and then it, you just, you're going to, you become cantankerous. I don't know.
I think
something
so.
that's been going through my head lately.
Yeah, I think that's a good take. I think those are the primary routes. You're either, the Boy Scouts are going to have to keep going forward and ride this thing into the ground until they're basically nothing. And then somebody comes in and either buys the name or the original, right? Or is willing to pick up the pieces of whatever organization is left and rebuild it. But build it going, no, this, let's just get back to the core simple values. Roots. Even if you just say it's now scouting and it's not Boy Scouts, but just let's not make it this huge thing or this try to be everything to everybody. Let's just make it this. But I think, or it's going to, that's going to fall by the wayside. And there are going to be groups that pop up. We see it today. There's lots of men's groups. I'm sure there's women's groups that pop up because there's this need of community, right? We've talked about it so often on a number of these podcasts where community is important and having shared vision, mission, whatever it is, right? The shared values, there's something to be said for that. And it's like, oh, how do we pass this on now, not just to each other, but pass this on to our kids or pass this on to another generation? And we're seeing that more and more as I think we as a nation get polarized in so many different directions. And so, because there's always a way to split it up as us and them. And ultimately, that pushing apart creates vacuums for local things to start and kind of reseed that ground that the Boy Scouts used to and organizations like them that used to maintain.
Dang. All comes and goes.
Yep.
Well, that was some deep thoughts. All right. We've been holding off to the very end.
If
you made it this far, sit back for the chuckle or two, because CJ, I'm sure we'll have comments, but go ahead, Jimmy. Hit us with the ad reads.
Excuse me. So, geez Louise. This podcast is sponsored by Barbaric Soap. Get savagely clean with Barbaric Soap, found exclusively at barbaricsoap.com. If you're listening to this podcast on through Apple Podcasts, if you could give us a rate and review, give us a 5-star review or whatever, that will help us out. I think Spotify started doing that as well. So I'm not 100% sure, but I know Apple Podcasts do. But it's a way to get our podcast out there. Really, it's the folks in the BR Nation that help us grow. So really appreciate any you guys rate and reviewing the Spotify podcast.
Does have it.
Okay. Awesome. Thank you. Otherwise you can find this podcast at barbarianrhetoric.com, where you'll find not only this episode, but past episodes, as well as a number of articles to help you learn and grow and ultimately develop a barbaric mindset. That's barbarianrhetoric.com. In addition, we invite you to support Cody Chappell at his Deep Chatter store at etsy.com. Cody's been featured on the podcast, has a number of mugs and apparel for sale. Check it out at deepchatter@etsy.com. Last but not least, we invite you to support Padre at smithhomestead.com. Padre has appeared on the podcast as well, has written a number of articles for Barbarian Rhetoric. So you can check out all his stuff there. He has a number of items for sale, from candles and soap to apparel and essential oils at smithhomestead.com. That's smith-homestead.com. Handmade, homemade, enjoy the natural at smithhomestead.com.
I think that was one of your best run-throughs.
Yeah. Got off to a shaky start, but yeah, was able to level that plane out.
Had to clear all of the cum out of your throat.
And that will be the end for the week. Everyone have a good one.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Barbarian Rhetoric Podcast. I hope it's given you something to think about in your own quest to develop a barbarian mindset. Because it's with this mindset that you'll find the skills, strength, attitude, will, and endurance to see things through and live within the civilization and still be a barbarian. We appreciate your feedback. We especially appreciate those who have been supporting the podcast. That's the Barbarian Rhetoric Podcast, on our website, on Anchor FM, and on Spotify. You can find the show notes on the blog or anchor.fm/barbarianrhetoric. If the podcast has been helpful to you, please let us know. You can do this by checking into the Apple Podcast app, give us 5 stars, and leaving us a short review. This will help us get our message out in front of many more people. You can also talk to us on social media and let us know what you are thinking about or how this has helped you. On Twitter, I am at SteelJanz. That's STEELJANZ. And I'm also on Instagram at Barbarian Rhetoric. There's also a couple other things you need to check out. One is the Barbarian Rhetoric blog. And of course, our newsletter. There's a pop-up which you'll see as soon as you land on the blog. Thanks for listening. And always remember to be a barbarian in a civilized world. An apex predator. A civilized world.